last week we discussed inshallah ba'din hadda. Now we discuss the hadith of the line after the Arkaat al-Fajr, and we brought opinions of scholars on that, and we concluded that it is sunnah of the Prophet Allah to rely after observing Arkaat al-Fajr, but it is not compulsory. Because the Prophet Allah himself did not do it at times, based on some reports of Aisha Radhiallahu Anha in Sahih Muslim. And we said that Ibn Hazm al-Andalusi was of the opinion that it is composite, up to the extent of the one who does not do it has no Salah obstruction. And we said it is one of the mistakes of some scholars which do not take them out of being scholars, but at the same time, the mistake will not be expected from them, because this thing is not something that is the outright statement of a particular person. It is something that as the need that we follow, however crazy the person who has said something contrary to it is. So today, inshallah, we'll be looking at another hadith. وعن ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم صلاة الليل مثنى مثنى فإذا خشي أحدكم الصبح صلى ركعة واحدة توتر له ما قد صلى متفق عليه وللخمسة وصحاء ابن حبان كلاهما صلاة الليل والنهار مثنى مثنى وقال النسائي هذا خطأ. نعم from عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنه said that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said the prayer of the night is taken from after Isha. The prayer of the night is مثنى مثنى. Two rakah mixed with me. فَإِذَا خَشَ أَحْدُكُمُ الصُّبْحَ. If anyone of you is afraid of subh, maybe he wakes up late, or afraid that if he continues like that, somebody may meet him, that is Al-Fajr Sadiq may appear while in that situation. صَلَّى رَكَعَةً وَاحِدَةً. You should pray one rakah. تُوتِنُ لَهُ مَا قَدْ صَلَّى. That raka will be withdrawn for all he has prayed. For all he has prayed. وَلِلْ خَمْسَ وَصَحَيْ مِنْ حِبَّةٍ. Also reported by the Khamsa, that is Abu Dawud, Nasai, Ibn Majah, Tirmidhi, Ahmad, and Ibn Hibban also declared to be Sahih. It has this warning, Salatul Layl wa Nahari Masna Masna, the prayer of the night and day, that is the Nawafi. Masna Masna, they are two rakah taslim. Qal al-Nasai, Nasai Ali reported this hadith, now commented on it, said, Adha Khata, this is what a mistake from one of the reporters, from Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, and that is Al-Hazm. Say that God is a mystic. One, we have in the one contained by Bukhari a Muslim Salatul Layl Masna Masna. Somebody went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asked him, how about the prayer of the night? How should I pray? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Salatul Layl Masna Masna. فَإِذَا خَشِ أَذُكُمُ الصُّبْحَ صَلَّى رَكْعَةً وَاحِدَا تُوتُوا لَوْ مَقَدْ صَلَّى. You pray two, you make the sleep. You pray two, you make the sleep. If any one of you is afraid that Sufi Al-Fajr Sadiq will meet him, they let him pray one. Two to Allah Maqad Salla. That will be withdrawn for his. What he has prayed, that is, to be us ending what we have created. But if you look at the report of people of Sunan, Budawood, Nasai, Trinidad, they also reported it the way Bukhari Muslim have reported it. But the Abdullah report, and that is the report of Hadith from Abdullah ibn Umar of Al-Anu, he said, Salat Layli wa Nahar, the prayer of the night and the day, is Matna, Matna, Tutu. He wrote Tutu. So Imam al-Nasai said this is what is Khata. And this is an indication that not all hadith that you find in Abu Dawud Nasai just take a watch and use like that. Because those who have compiled the hadith, Nasai, Ibn Majah, Tirmidhi, Abu Dawud, themselves, then they will make comments on some of the hadith that they wrote that the hadith is da'if. And then they will say the shame is what is da'if. And when you look at where they da'if, the scholars of Al-Qur'an may mean what da'if. So not all the hadith that we find in the Sunan with what they have seen, with the exception of Bukhari and Muslim. All the hadith in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, they are Sahih with the exception of very few. Al-Imam al-Darqutni and some others, they took Bukhari and Muslim off on some hadith. But when the scholars verified this, they discovered that the truth is with Bukhari and Muslim on most of the hadith that were criticized upon them, that you are to cite for. Those who criticize them, like Darqutni, you know, each the point on some, but most. Because the hadith of Bukhari and Muslim, they decided, that is, Bukhari decided, Muslim decided, out of the hadith that they collected, they decided to single out some, about 4,000 plus, without maybe repetition and the like, so, and they wrote that. And they called it Sahih. Why the hadith that they memorized and they knew were more than 200,000? So they just wanted to brought that out. But was just as if you read the book or read the Ahkam, they also decided to think out some hadith that has to do with what rulings of Al-Baghdad and the like, out of what the hadith, and they have carried what to limit those reports to Bukhari and Muslim. Ibn Hajar came up with his whole letter to pick a hadith from the Sunan, talking about the Sunan. Someone else said, I want to talk, pick a hadith on Akhlaq. Someone else said, I want to pick a hadith on Khayyur, and so on and so forth. So the hadith of the Sunan, not all of them are authentic. The strongest of the hadith of the book of Sunan is Sunan Abi Dawud. The weakest of them is that of Ibn Majah. But it also contains a lot of Sahih Ahadith. And that's why the beginner who picks up the translation of Bukhari and Muslim is somehow safe. Unlike a beginner who picks up the translation of Abu Dawud Nasai, just reading, would have once memorized and implemented a lot of weak ahadith without knowing. So, the issue is that the Prophet of Allah, somebody met him and said, what? He asked him concerning the prayer of the night. The Prophet of Allah said, Tutu, wa idha khasha ahdukum al-subha, salla rakatan wahida tutu lalma qad salla. If you are afraid of subhi, you pray wa rakat, that will be wizru for your salah. Now, some scholars have the opinion that based on this hadith, that one cannot pray maybe four rakah at a go. Now make tashahud, you make a slave. You pray four rakah again at a go, you make tashahud, you make a slave. This is the opinion of some scholars. like Sheikh Salim al-Uthaymeen and some others. The Sheikh was a bit, you know, rigid on this issue. Why Sheikh Al-Alban rahimahullah ta'ala said one can do it? Based on the hadith of Aisha, radiallahu anha, which we shall come across. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who prayed four rakat. La tas'al an tulihinna wa usmihinna. To pray four rakat. Forget about the length and the beauty of those four rakat. Then you pray four rakat. Forget about the length or the beauty of those four rakat. Then you pray what is way to pray, making 11 altogether. So, if you look at the hadith of Aisha, apparently, that shows that one can pray four rakah at a go with one tashahud and one taslim. So, some of this majlis said no. He said, the reason why we shouldn't do it is that what? Somebody went to the Prophet of Allah and asked concerning the prayer of the night. He said, Salatul Layl, Masna, Masna. The prayer of the night is what? Two. That is two taslim. But one looks at it critically. This is one position to another position. Whose position is what is the stronger of the two? For Allahu A'lam, the position of those who say you can pray for at a go seems stronger. Why? We have evidences that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at times who pray five at a go, who pray seven at a go, who pray nine, so only sit on the church, then they watch to pray the ninth one. So it's our authentic that those who say the Salatul you can't pray for, they also agree that what you can pray like that. So if you agree that you can pray like that, that shows what? It shows that we can also pray four. Then it somehow restricts the general meaning of the hadith, Salatul Layl, Masna, Masna. The prayer of the night is 2-2. If you say 2-2, okay, the question is, can we pray five at a go? If you say yes, then what will you say? The contrast between 2-2 and what? Five at a go that you have said. If you say that one is allowed, then the hadith of Aisha should also be interpreted as what? Four at a go, as it appears. Not that she was talking about that the person will pray two, will make the sleep, pray two, make the sleep, they will not take a rest. And if he sleeps, he wakes up again, he pray what two, make the sleep, pray two, make the sleep, he take a rest again. Fine, nobody is good that this is permissible. The Salah to learn, you can decide to watch and decide to pray it the way you like. Maybe you pray, maybe four raka, then you go to bed. You wake up again, you pray four raka. You wake up again, because who has benefited from this hadith? Salatul Layl, Masna, Masna. The prayer of the night is what? 2-2. So when you are asking subha, then one of you is afraid of subha. Salat rakatan wahida, two till Allah wa ta'ala. To pray one, I will be waiting for his what? For his salah. Now, some of our scholars, or majority of the scholars, they have the opinion that this hadith Salatul Layl Masna Masna shows that what there is no limit or limitation for the number of raka that one can pray. Because it said what? Masna Masna. So if you get up, you pray two, make the slim, pray two, make the slim, pray two, make the slim. فَإِذَا أَشْيَا ذُكُمُ الصُّبْحَ فَنَا وَبِذْ أَفْرَيْتْ أَفْ صُبْحِ صَلَّى رَكَاتًا وَحِدًا. He prays one. To Allah wa qad salla. So these are his how benefit that the prayer of the night does not have what limitation. Some mashaykh, particularly in the recent time, before him, As-Sulaimani, particularly in the recent time, Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala, in his book, Salat al-Tarawih, likewise Qiyam al-Ramadan, was of the opinion that no, you can't go beyond 11. You can't go beyond 11. So going beyond 11 is what is deeper. Now, this is what is the evidence of the Sheikh. Those who say you can go beyond 11, they say, Masna. The Prophet Allah never told the man, don't pray beyond 11. He said, Masna. إِذَا خَشَهَدُكُمُ السُّبْحَةَ صَلَّى رَكَعَةً وَحِدَةً تُوْتِرُ اللَّهُ مَاكُ السُّنَّةِ الشيخ الألباني رحمه الله تعالى كان before he told me that the sunnah is what should be done. And what is the sunnah? عائشة رضي الله عنها أخرجت في البخاري said ما كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يزيد في رمضان ولا في غيره على 11 ركعة. She said that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم will not increase, will not go beyond in Ramadan, and after Ramadan, he will not go beyond 11 rakat. He will not go beyond 11 rakat in Ramadan and outside Ramadan. He said, this is what our evidence. And we also have the evidence that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent the Nimud Dari. Likewise, Ma'az bin Jabal to Yemen and the other group of them to lead people which Rumah Radallahu Anhu ordered people to pray 11 rakat. Now there's another report that says 20 rakat. There's another report that the Prophet of Islam will pray 20 rakat. But this report, they are da'ifa. Some scholars said one is authentic, and that is the report of Abd al-Razzaq al-Sana'ani, which mentioned 20 rakat. But those who say 11 rakat, they said Abd al-Razzaq al-Sana'ani had ikhtilat. So he may have worked, made a mistake, because the report also came from the same person, and that person mentioned what 11 rakat. So those who say the report of Abd al-Razzaq al-Sana'ani is also authentic, they said we can pay 20 rakat. Those who say it's not authentic, they said we do not have any evidence that the Prophet of Islam prayed more than 11 rakat, based on the hadith of Aisha, then it's not authentic. Either from Umar or another person, that what one can pray 20 rakat. Those reports from Umar of the land that say 20 rakat, they are the ifa. So based on that, it says it is bitter to pray more than 11 rakah at night, because the Prophet Allah will not do beyond that. Now some said, or most scholars, they said one can go beyond 11 rakah. One of the evidences is this hadith. So that means masna. Did not say so and so rakah is a limitation. Likewise, it said, the hadith of Abd al-Razzaq is authentic. The Prophet of Allah knew that people should pray 20 rakat. And they will do it through his tree. So they use that. Now, apart from this hadith, there is another hadith which was also discussed. And that is the hadith of Talik ibn Ali, one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا وِتْرَانِي فِي لَيْلَةِ. You can't pray two witru in a night. It is only one witru in a night. Now if you go back to Sunan Abi Dawud, considering the story that led to that statement, Khalid ibn Ali, radiallahu anhu, gets from people in Salah. As his son said, Faith bin Farid bin Ali, he said he led them in Salah of Layl during Ramadan. He said, come Abina, he led us in Salah. He said, Fa'autara, and he prayed with us. He led us in Salah of Layl, and he prayed with us. Then he had left our place and went to his place. He had led his people in Salah in Layl. You have said, it is not composed that if you want to pray 11, it must watch at a goal. It's not composed. If you decide to pray, maybe 4, now we pray 6, now later I conclude it. But the scholars who are talking the same words, who are campaigning for 11, they shouldn't go beyond 11. And that's why one of those who was in Jordan said that Sheikh Al-Ban Rahimahullah Ta'ala will pray in the masjid of Sheikh Ibrahim Shakra. So we leave them, they will pray six, then they will go. Everybody will go to their house. And toward the tail end of the night, they will come back again and will pray the remaining five raka according to the vision of the Sheikh and in the 11 raka. He will pray the remaining five raka, completing 11. So this man led them in Salah. He prayed with whom is there. He went to his people. He now led them in Salah again. When it was time for them to pray what? Withdraw. He said, he now chose a man. He said to him, how can the Ashabic lead your people in withdraw? Because the Prophet Allah said, La withrani fi laylati. No two withdraw should be observed in one night. Now if you look at the hadith of Talib bin Ali, you see that it's a sign of what supporting position of majority of the scholars. I don't know if you can hear that. He led those people in Salah first. He prayed with through with them. How many raka will you say he prayed?
Not mentioned.
So let's say, okay, he prayed three raka. I'll pray, let's say for instance, was the withdrew everything, let's say seven raka. It's not mentioned. It could be what? It could be 11. It could be 9. It could be 7. Not mentioned. Now this same person went to his own tribe, led them in Salat in Lail, but the only thing he got, when it was withdrew, did not. How many raka did he pray there?
Not
mentioned. So will he say that? But it is mentioned that what he led them in Salah. It is only withdrew. So, are we saying that those people in those tribes, they only pray two raka in Ramadan, four raka in Ramadan, six raka in Ramadan? Huh? How many? Those are people who want to pray 11 raka. Most people want to pray 11 raka. So when they don't think they want to pray 11 raka, let's assume that the man and led them in what? 8 raka. And I said, okay, you pray with yourself. So the added 8, so maybe we took a 5 there, or let's say 8 to 7 there, I would have gone beyond what? 11 raka. So that would be supporting the hadith of Rasulullah to say, Masna, Masna. وَإِذَا خَشِيَ أَدُكُمُ السُّبْحَ صَلَّ رَكَعَةً وَحِيدًا تُوتِرُ لَوْ مَا قَدْ صَلَّ. So that is one. Then if you look at this issue again, majority of the scholars have the opinion that one can pray more than 11 raka. Sheikh Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala in his Majmu' Fatawa says this scholar is left to the plan of what? Individuals. There is nothing that I think should not pray more than this number. That is what the Sheikh said in what? Majmur. Likewise, before him, we see some of the Ayyimah Imam, some of them saying 36, some of them saying 42, some say 20. It depends on what they were used to in their society, in their community. So, all this I find that what? No restrictions. If one goes to Mubarak Furi, in his book, the explanation of Sunan Tirmidhi, he also said, no restriction. Ali Mahbod, explanation of Abu Dawood, no restriction. So most of the books of the scholars, no restriction. And that's why the modern scholars or the contemporary scholars, like Ibn Baz, no restriction. Sheikh Hussein, no restriction. Muhammad Ibrahim Ali Sheikh, no restriction. So most of them have said what? No restriction. It is left in the hand of what? Individual. Just as you can pray more than 11, you can also pray what? Less than 11. based on some other hadith that was to come across, that the Prophet Allah Sallam allow us to pray more less than 11. For instance, in our community today, people are used to pray how many at night? 3. We say night, that is any time from the shop. People are used to pray what? Praying 3. So this is what supported by the evidence. And Aisha Rabbadaniya said, مَا كَانَ رَسُولُ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَىٰهِ وَسَلَمْ جَذِبُ تُرُّ رَمَضَانِ وَلَا بِغَيْهِ عَلَىٰ إِلَىٰ عَشْرَ رَكَةِ. The Prophet Allah did not differentiate Ramadan in terms of numbers of raka that you pray from outside Ramadan. Aisha Rabbadaniya said what? In Ramadan and outside Ramadan. You will not what? Go beyond 11. Now you will pray less than 11 when it became what? Old. So you pray 9 times 7. As this is also what? In authentic reports. So, this issue, why the scholar is, the scholar of two scholars are disagreeing with what majority of the scholars are upon. The first thing upon all is to look at the evidence. If the evidence clearly supports the minority, then we go with the minority, regardless of what of the numbers of the majority. But if the evidence does not clearly support the minority, one has to be cautious. Being with the Jama'ah is better than being alone, particularly when the evidence that the minority or the individual is using is something that is not that clear. Now, if you look at the hadith of Aisha radhiyallahu anha, "Ma kana Rasulullah yazidu fi Ramadan wa la fi ghayri ala 11 raka." The Prophet of Allah will not go beyond 11 raka. Did the Prophet say, "Don't go beyond 11 raka"? He didn't say so. He didn't say so. Don't go beyond 11 raka. If you have said, don't go beyond the level raka, would have said what? And now you feel tahrim. When you say so, this is only his own practice. Here we will lend him his salah, here we will lend him his rako. So everything will end up being the level raka. Most of the time. But not everybody can lend him their salah like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some of the companions who practice that we see, like Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, like Huzayfa. One of them said that among to be true. I thought of him when I prayed behind him at night. He asked me, what is that? He said, I thought to what? To live. Why? He said, he saw to Bakara, he did Bakara, went to Nisa, after Nisa, came back to Ali Imran. You know, when you are saying to us in Bakara alone, it will take you close to an hour. If any you can drink, take it close to an hour, more than an hour. So somebody prayed Salah just in one raka. Afterwards, he said, when he got 200 verses, he said, I expect he will go for Ruku. No Ruku. So continue like that. He finished Bakara, he now went to Nisa. He jumped to Ali Imran, he went to Nisa. Finishing this part, came back to Ali Imran. Finish all this work. Keep in one raka. So that means Ali Imran, Nisa, Bakara, in one raka, the Prophet of Allah would have been close to about 3 hours. Keep in one raka. Why in our community, 15 minutes, 13 raka, finished? So, look at me, we're letting him fall out. But he will end up paying 11 raka. So, he never said don't go beyond 11 raka. It is the length of his salah, his ruku, his sujood, that will determine what he can cover. What is the night before subhi comes. At times, he will start at the beginning of the night. As we shall see in some of the hadith. Aisha radhiyallahu anha said, "Kullu al-layla wa kullu al-layl qad awtara." The Prophet of Allah has done his way through in all the night. any part of the night, we do part of the night. He said, Wantaha, we threw in a sahar. But if we threw, you know, he ended up praying his way through as sahar. So look at the hours that Islam was praying in his watch, in his salah. Now, he did not say don't go beyond 11 rakah. That is established. Then, one wants to say we shouldn't go beyond 11 rakah. That is the argument of those who say don't go beyond 11 rakah. Of those who say you can go beyond 11 rakah. They are telling those who say we shouldn't go beyond 11 rakah. If that is your work argument, then we should also lengthen our salah the way we will lengthen is every rakah of his own watch. If it comes to 11 rakah, we should also include that. Our ruku should be as lengthy as that of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you can't say this, then what is the evidence saying you shouldn't go beyond 11 rakah? When we have what general text, salat al-layl, matna, matna. وإذا خشى أحدكم الصبح صلى ركعة واحدة توتر له ما قد صلى. If it is important that one should not go beyond 11 rakat, the Prophet of Allah would have told what? Would have told his man, but don't go beyond 11 rakat. So we could not use the practice of the Prophet of Allah in this instance to what? To limit it. And that's why Sheikh Salih ibn Muslimin, rahimahullah ta'ala, tried to maintain a kind of middle position. He said, hey, the best is for us to follow the practice of the Prophet of Allah. That's the best. But those who pray more than 11 rakah, we should not watch attack them. Because their practice as what? Basic. And this is what? What majority of the scholars, majority of the Muslims have been saying over ages. Imam Malik rahmahullah ta'ala died more than 1,300 years ago. So if he has said what 36 rakah, Imam Shafi has something similar, so-and-so has something similar, over all these stages, people have not been condemning this practice. If somebody now says, no, okay, this is how we see it, one has to watch, be very, very careful. So the Sheikh of Mawlahu Ta'ala, Sheikh Salim ibn Uthaymeen of Mawlahu Ta'ala, said it best for is for one to pray it the way the Prophet of Allah Salaam would pray it. But when I said that, I said, watch, so, the Prophet would not go beyond. She was trying to watch, to narrate the Salat of the Prophet of Allah, so people who emulate it. But today, people should not pray more than that, and the harsh of those who are praying more than that, and that will not be able to watch, it will not be okay. Now, Sheikh Al-Qa'ala Rahimahu Allah Ta'ala, one with his book, which was Salat al-Nabi, Sifatu, Salat al-Tarawih, and Qiyam Ramadan, if one with it, the Sheikh was trying to establish what is believed to be what to be the only correct opinion. But not at what he was tearing apart those who are doing something what contrary to what he believed to be the only correct opinion. Not what he believed to be the best. What he believed to be the only correct opinion. But he was not tearing people who took that position apart. But if one reads this book, you see maybe the shape was harsh for some people. It was because those people were also harsh on him. You get it now? Maybe you said something now. Some people have said that position is wrong. It's not correct. Somebody say someone is trying to force people for the Ummah, trying to break the Ummah, trying to not come up with rubbish, something like that. There is no out. If you are the person that has taken that position, you want to fire back. Now, the issue will now go beyond the issue of what that you have been discussed. That is being discussed. The issue will now go towards personality, attacking personality. That is something that one has to be very, very careful. If you look at the issue of Salat Tarawih now, both of them watch, they have evidences. And you cannot categorically say that it is the only correct one, unless this one tries to throw away all those other evidences. But we have to not say, okay, you are not attacking the one who takes a contrary opinion, not saying the person is trying to watch cause fitna for the woman, is trying to do this. No, first the position. But look at the personality of the person, the person who has said that thing, then you respect his personality. Somebody took Sheikh Al-Abbas Rahimahullah that you are anxious at times when you are dealing with your opponents on some issues. He said people should look at his statements or the issues being discussed. So, la akunu al-babia lidhalik. I will not be the one who will start that. So those people who attack my personality, then I will fire back. And that is what is the truth. He followed the works of Sheikh Al-Qa'la, he will be establishing what he believes to be the right thing. And somebody, maybe because of what they are used to in their society, without fire. Take, for instance, the issue of Nikab. The Sheikh established his own position in his book, Hijab al-Mar'at al-Muslima. Somebody came and fired him, said he was trying to teach what sufur, that the women should watch, should be going out with sufur, that is with their faces and legs. Now, like me, Sheikh Al-Bani, too, as the comments of the person appeared, likening it to people like this man in Egypt in the 20s, 30s, who was campaigning, called him Amin, who was campaigning for the Harir al-Mar'a, emancipation of women. So they said, likening it to people like this, telling me, I established my position. So the Sheikh now fired back that this position that I've chosen is the position of majority of the scholars from the past up to the. So he wrote his book, the Holy Marriage Muslim. Somebody wrote again, he wrote his book again, wrote another book, which he titled, what's his name? Abrodul Muslim. Look at it. So, because some people attacked his personality, they left issues like that. At times, these things happen between scholars. At times, they there a lot of hatred. Because those who envy one another, like the scholars are watch a few, envy is present among the scholars more than is present among some businessmen. And that's why the Na'qaf of the land was reported to have said that the scholars, he said, take knowledge from them. What this one says against this one, don't take it. You take the knowledge with this scholar. But if they are describing this person, maybe attack him, since they are what? They are contemporaries. Be careful. He said, these people, I mean the scholars, they are ashaddu tanafuran minatuyus. Their envy and their rivalry among themselves is more than that of the male goat trying to beat the female goat. We are now trying to compete with him. Such the envy is more than that. Some of the scholars watch will be sorry on that scholar. Maybe based on something that somebody has brought to him, something very intentional or so. And giving his kazab, his tajab, something like that. You don't report that. The knowledge of the deen without talking with the scholar is fake. As the statement against the contemporary, leave that statement. That is the only reason or the only way where the deen will be intact. But when you turn the statement of this scholar against this scholar and so on, and you build your aqidah based on that, there is fitna. Some people they hate Sheikh Al-Bani not because of anything, because of the issue of the hope. There is nothing that Al-Bani will say, they will watch, they will accept. Some people they hate maybe Sheikh bin Baz or Sheikh bin Taymiyyah because of all Salat al-Tarawih. How could somebody be saying that you can pay more than 20 rakah can pray like more than 11 raka. Ah, didn't you see the hadith of Aisha that if you don't pray more than 11 raka? Ah, what are you these scholars? They are not all of you. They are not these, they are not that. But the more you read, the more calm you are. Someone with what, with little knowledge, with what will be somehow emotional, will be somehow harsh. But if what you have seen, what scholars have said on issue, disagreements of scholars on some issues, you will be calm. So you understand that some of the evidence that you feel you are this strong evidence, nobody can debunk it. When you read all that book, you see how they finish those evidences, and you say, ah. It's either you now change your position, or what? Or you maintain that position and you continue to do what? Then that is when our set desire now overtakes you, and now the controlling, just as the controlling people of Peter. So the sheikh can establish his own position, but most of the time, the sheikh will not be the one who attacks first. I'm not saying the sheikh will not attack first, because the woman did. At times, when somebody disagrees with you, fire that person. You may be the first person to attack. It happens to human beings like that. You may be the first person to attack. But the student of knowledge, as I said, will not look at the attack of this scholar on this scholar. As long as that scholar is what? The son of Ahlul Sunnah, one of those who are spreading the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is also attacking people of Bid'ah. If he now makes mistakes, or somebody now speaks against him in a very heavy way, so you have to be what? Cautious. And examples, Ibn Abdul Barr in his book, Jalil, Bayan al-Ilm wa Fadli, brought a lot of examples, maybe among the Tajirun, this one speaking of this. Maybe Imam Amash against Abu Hanifa against Al-Amash, Ibrahim Nakhay against Sha'bi, and many like that. In case of Muhammad ibn Ishaq, the historian, the author of Sirah, when somebody was trying to praise Imam Malik, said, who is Malik? He said, he is in the ancient Malik. Bring all the knowledge of Malik to me, for Anna Baitorgu. Said, I was scrutinizing everything. When Imam Malik had this, somebody now took that in again and said, this was only in his heart and said, say for what, the Jalun, Minat Dajjalina. It's the Jal, Minat Dajjalina. So, look at what the other one said, look at what this one said. But this type of statement, clearly you say, you two are, well, you two are. Not something to watch to be considered. So if somebody makes a mistake, maybe your sheikh, or your ustaz, or the scholar that you respect, attack somebody, you see that there is a kind of harshness in this attack. You don't act based on that. Consider that as being what? Harsh. The sheikh in such a Al-Bahra, Rahimahullah Ta'ala, said in some of his texts, Sheikh Ali Hassan Al-Halabi also reported this in his book, Manhaj Salaf al-Salih. Sheikh Al-Bani said, some people who do not like us and who hate us, who want us to be destroyed, when we say some things that are harsh, they use that to judge us. But they've forgotten that us, we are human beings, we make mistakes at times. Because of the love for the truth, one may be pushed to be harsh on some people. It is love of the truth that has not pushed us to say that. Not because we want to destroy the personality of that person. He said, this type of mistake, if it comes out from us, people should overlook it. They should look at some other thing. This is what? This is the insult. And this is what sincerity. There's nobody that doesn't have the time of harshness or time of what? Not being harsh. The salesman doesn't talk about people. Really. There will be a time that will talk about some people. And look at how this man is harsh. And all may be harsh. Most of his comments on people are harsh. At times you see him talking much soft about some people. That is what the nature of mankind. So this issue I'm just trying to tell us, my position in the past is to be what the leadership and prime national order. So when I read some of these books, particularly my first encounter was with Sufat al-Ahwazi of Al-Mubarak Furi. the extremism of this hadith. I saw the quotations that they had brought. I said, oh. Then I followed it up again, read some other shuruq on this hadith. I discovered that the majority of the scholars went to an opinion contrary to that of Sheikh Al-Bani Rahimahullah Ta'ala. So still I remained on the position that we have been preaching, or if the truth becomes clear to you, or another opinion becomes stronger, so you change your opinion for the stronger one. And that is then my position on Salat Taraweeh and what has been sought. The one who prays 11 rakah, who says 11 rakah, I don't have a problem with you. He says 11 rakah is what? Eight. The correct one. Where could they debate the issue? What does it mean that what? There will be quarrel, there will be problem between us. Look at your position, that's how they lie, take it. Those who say come came on 11 rakah, I don't have a problem with them. Since that is the majority's opinion, and there is no clear text that says you can pray more than 11 rakah. So this type of issue is Masail Khilaf al-Ijtihadiyya. The use of Khilaf that Ijtihad as what way, and there is room for Ijtihad in it, as Sheikh Muhammad Ibrahim al-Sheikh has said. So the hadith, Salatul Layli, Masna, Masna, Kwaidha Khashi, Abukum al-Subha, صلى ركعة واحدة توتر الله ما قد صلى is experience that those who say you can pray more than 11 rakah and it provided you pray it right, not the way people who just somebody in 30 minutes and 15 minutes praying 20 rakah, so they are after the rakat, not after the salah. So this is what is not correct. And somebody may decide that what I want to pray less than that, less than 11 rakah. Don't attack him. Among the Salaf al-Salih, you have those who pray less than that. Ma'ayyah radallahu anhu prayed, he's going with one rakah. Somebody was surprised, Amir al-Mu'min, one rakah. And he went to Ibn Abbas radallahu anhu, he said, look at what Amir al-Mu'min is doing, one rakah. He said, who are faqih? He said, he's a faqih. He's a faqih. And now that Sheikh Mubi Rahmahullah Ta'ala, how to tell her that? He said, our being busy with knowledge at night may not allow us to pray, to lengthen our rakaat the way those who are not knowledgeable will do. Because you want to lengthen your rakaat at night, then you want to use 6-7 hours for not to eat, you are free to do that. But a scholar may not be able to do that. Because there are a lot of issues of the deen that people who call him, want you to know the reason of the thing. So if you use the time for what? 5 hours, 6 hours for rakaat, that will affect what? His research. And will lead to what? He given people wrong fatwa. So this is how the scholars will do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us ways in which what we can increase in ibadah. Those who are worthy, they spread their wealth. Those who are not scholars, maybe they pray a lot of nawafil, more than the scholars will do. The scholars, they spend most of their time in what? In checking the deen. So, what this one does not have, and this one is unable to do, he's not able to do it. Like that. But because you can do one particular ibadah, those who cannot do that ibadah, it will lead to them. That is what? Hijab al-Mari bin Nafsi, being pompous. Some people are good at fasting. Some of the companions are good at fasting. Some of the companions do not fast, except Ramadan. And they are scholars. But some people are good at fasting. Some people are good at what Qiyam al-Layl. Some of those who are good at fasting and the weak at what Qiyam al-Layl. Whatever you can do, as long as it's not that, those who cannot do it, don't believe to them. But you can encourage. You shall see, the Prophet was telling Abdullah ibn Umar, said, Ya Abdullah, Abdullah ibn Ammi, يا عبد الله لا تكون مثل فلان كان يقوم الليل ثم ترك او عبد الله don't be like so and so person he used to wake up at night to do his tahajjud but later he left it scholar said why to be compulsory that he must get up at night the prophet Allah that wouldn't have watched stopped it would have called that person and blasted him why are you not doing this He went to the house of Ali was alive one day, said, get up for seven arwah ibn Abi Abdillah. Isha'am sakam isha'am salah. Our souls are in the hands of Allah. If Allah wills, He did it. If Allah wills, He takes it with Him. Take that with Him. The Prophet of Allah salam left and said, wa kana insan akhtara shi'jadana. He left. Now you are telling people to do things that are good, discourage them from things that are evil. If the things are haram, there will be a kind of what, harshness. If the things are not cruel, you try to prevent them. You encourage people to do things that are mustahabat, things that are wajib, with the ash a bit, maybe in letting the people know that this is what is composing on them. So then we benefit from each. From the Maqoom Mukhalafa, that Salatul Layl Matna Matna, the prayer of the night is Sutu, Suraka, we have explained this. That means Salatul Nahar, the prayer of the afternoon is not like that. Have you? If the night is Sutu, that means the afternoon will not watch Sutu. And that's why some have said what? Like Imam Malik, said that you pray 4 raka before Zuhr, 4 raka after that, you pray their watch, straight. No two-step sleep. But some scholar said what? This is Mafu Mukhalafa. You understand it. It's the opposite of understanding of Salat Layl Matna Matna. This can be accepted if there is no text. But you have text that says what? Salat Layl Matna Matna Matna. One other scholar said, Imam Nafai said it was, this is Khata. Some scholars also quoted Ithiyab ibn Ma'in and many others like that, quoted that. Even if you accept that that is not authentic, there are some other hadith, like the hadith of Ali, that 4 raka during the time of before Subhi, before Zuhr, he said that, تُفْتَحْ لَهُنَّ أَبْوَابُ السَّمَاءِ لَيْسَ فِيهِنَّ تَسْلِيمٍ 4 raka that the gates of the heaven to be open for them, there is no taslim in them, that is two taslim, again two taslim, rather four taslim. Some scholars also authenticated that those who say you can pray four. But the truth is that what? You can pray two, you can pray and do taslim, and you can pray four and do taslim, whether in the night or in the afternoon. Wallahu a'lam.
The second question is concerning reading the Quran, not following the Surah. Now, what do you have to say about this hadith? And then, secondly, I am convinced with what the majority of the scholars said on the issue of the Raka'at of the Tarawih. But one of the evidence is, one of the things they use as evidence, the hadith of Christ, so that the behavior that he will leave some people in the mosque and go to other mosques. I think, can that be the clear evidence? In the sense that what of someone who prays compulsory salah, since he was the imam, we can also see someone who prays compulsory salah, leaving the compulsory salah, and goes to pray to meet some other people. Then his case will be different from someone who prays individually.
I'm not getting
it. Now, what I'm saying is that In those cases, it is different. In the sense that he led the prayer. And that other one was an additional non-filler for him. Like someone who prayed Salat al-Isha now, then go
now, back to the... Will you add that to
now?
Qiyam al-Layl or Qiyam al-Nahar? Which one? Somebody did people in Salat Tarawih now. Huh? So he now went to his people, he led them in Salat Tarawih again. When he was leading the people here, he prayed with them. When he led them here, he said, pray your wisdom, because the Prophet of Allah said what? La utran isayna. No two withdrew in one night. The Salah that he led people here, is he part of the Qiyam al-Layl?
No.
The first one. The second one?
The second one is also Qiyam al-Layl, but that one could be interpreted to be...
No, you can interpret your mother. What Aisha said is, man kana Rasulullah yazidu fi Ramadan wa la bi ghayrihi ala ihda ashara rak'ah. He will not exceed 11 rak'ah in Ramadan and other Ramadan, that is at night. So, we are talking about Salat al-Layl generally. In Ramadan, Salat al-Layl is called Tarawih. Outside Ramadan, it is called Qiyam al-Layl or Tahajjud. Tahajjud, if you have slept before, you wake up that Tahajjud. Qiyam al-Layl, general, as long as it is what? In the layl. You call it witru because it ends with Qaj. So all of them referring to the same thing. So let's want to call that one Qiyam al-Nahar. Say Qiyam al-Layl. Now. Which one?
The Kira.
Okay, now the Tenkit. Yes, that is not Tenkit. Tenkit is for one, so maybe you want to recite Surah to Al-Baqarah, for instance, now. Now start from verse maybe 100 to the end. Now come back again and say that Alif Lam Mim Zalika, that is in peace. So this one is what is haram, the Kufar to the ulama. You can do that. But maybe you read one chapter, like Surah to Baqarah, and now it's decided, you don't come back to watch Alif Lam. This one is not in peace. However, Sheikh Solomon Hussein was of the opinion that is only allowed in Nafila. But in fact, one should not do it that way because the Prophet of Allah was to recite verses and chapters in accordance. Now he will recite it to Nava and bring that. But for Tahqiq, what the majority of the Quran are upon is that there is nothing wrong in that. Whatever affects Nafila affects what? Fast. Except if one can bring evidence that says this does not apply to the fast. So that the Wazir of Shifra Ba'ala Ta'ala is what is more correct on this issue. There is no problem with that. Now that on that issue. It's not from the hadith of Talq ibn Ali that we quoted and we shall still come across. We see that when it is not compulsory, that people must be what? To end. Because they have prayed with you before. Now pray what? Even again. That shows what? It's not compulsory that which must be the end of it. Then why it will be the end of it? Wouldn't have what done it. Okay, let's say he was not aware of it, so a lot of companions are upon his opinion. We shall discuss that, inshallah, in some detail as well. But the more correct opinion is that what that it's not compulsory that which must be the end. Because the practice of the Prophet of Allah himself is a Muslim, Aisha radhiyallahu anha, said that man praying his watch flatly. So there was a place that she said that watch, the person who watch would pray 9 raka, then would make the stream and they would pray 2 raka after the sitting. So Sheikh Al-Ban Rashmahullah Ta'ala said he was confused concerning that. Maybe it was that the speciality of the Prophet Allah Salam, or is also applicable to his ummah. In his book Qiyam Ramadan, he now found another hadith in Sahih ibn Khuzaymah saying that the Prophet said, watch, one can also do that. So inshallah, we'll talk some details on that. Yes, don't want to say that that the withdrawal must watch must be the last. They will use the hadith that Ijalu Akura Salati could be lady with them. Let your salat at night watch the last of your salat at night watch withdrew. Eh? Now, this may mean watch, compulsory, may also mean watch. Eh? Maybe recommended. So, what do you say now? Just with this little explanation. Will you say compulsory or recommended?
Recommended.
So the amru there is not for you. The amru there is what? It's shifa. Allah. Let me respond. I read the hadith that the Prophet would not observe Salatul Duha except when he came back from journey. Does that mean it's not sunnah to observe it often? Inshallah, when we come to Salatul Duha, we explain it in pass on details as well. But one can observe it any time. The Prophet of Allah said, talking about things that are sadaqah, he said, وَيُبْنِي وَيُجْزِي أَنْ ذَلِكَ كُلِّهِ فَكَعْلَانِ يَلْكَعُمَا مِنَ الدُّوحَ. He said, it is sufficient in place of all those things to raka that one does during duha time. So it's not restricted. So this is why the joint of Islam said one can do it. Sheikh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala was of the opinion that Salatul Duha, what to stick to it, is for those who will not pay their withdrawal at night. Those who are not used to getting up at night, maybe they will do it before they sleep. So those who can watch, pray Salatul Duha. Like the case of Abu Dhabr, likewise Abu Huraira, this is the said word, Awsani Khalili, that my Khalil, my friend, has told me, and Utira Koblan Anam. So this was to do it before I sleep. So in that same hadith, they mentioned what Duha Salat. So Sheikh Ibn Taymiyyah said, that means observing Duha constantly will be for those who would watch with you before they sleep, not for those who get up at night. Because the Prophet of Allah Christ himself will not stick to it. We advise for people to stick to it. But if you look at the general term, the general implication of the hadith for Ibn Azalika or Wahizu Azalika Kulli, the Qatar in the Juha, it shows it was open. So that shows it's something that one can do. Allah. Is it compulsory for a female to cover her feet outside her house? Yes. It is compulsory for us to do that. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that وَلِيَضْرِبْنَا وَلَا يَضْرِبْنَا بِأَرْجُلِهِنَّ لِيُعْلَمَ مَا يُخْفِينَ مِنْ زِينَتِهِنَّ. He said, women should not hit their feet against the ground so that people will know what they have concealed of their ornament. So the Arabs will put on what is known as khalkhal. Khalkhal is the anklet. So they will use garments to cover the khalkhal as ordered by the Sharia. But some of them were passing by the males or by the men to hit their feet against the ground so that people will know that what they are what? They have decorated themselves with some ornament. You know, as a lot of women would do. When you are in their houses, they will put on the necklaces, the gold. It is when they are in the house of their husband. But when they are going out, and you see them applying the sticks, see them making use of the golden rings, all this so that they will attract men. So now put on perfume. And that's why the Prophet of Allah said, أَيُّمَا إِمْرَأَةٍ اسْتَعْطَرَتْ ثُمَّ خَرَجَتْ مِنْ بَيْتِ الزَّوْجِيَةِ لِيَجِدَ الرِّجَالُ لِهَا فَيَزْوَانِيَةِ. Any woman who puts on perfume goes out of the house of her husband so that people will feel about putting the perfume, he said, she's like his vanilla. What is the essence of being that thing? Why dressing that way? If you have dressed that way in the house of your husband, you cannot marry another person outside. It is haram for you to commit zina outside. It's haram for you to commit zina. Why are you now dressing like that for the people so that they watch, you pray, so that when you watch, who also get kidnapped out of you. So those women, since the Sharia said what they should cover their aura, so because of this thing that they will put when they pass, no, they are used to things like, just like women are also used to things like that in our society. So they keep their feet against them. Allah wa la yadrikna bi arjulihinna liyu'lama ma yukhfina min zinatihinna. And Allah has it for tubu ila Allah jami'an ayyuhal mu'minun la'allakum tuflihun. You pray to Allah, all of you who believe us, so that what you succeed, you be successful. So from that verse, the actor that he puts on will not be watched or vouched, will not be seen. So if we say the feet of a woman can be seen, that means the anklet can also be seen. But is it compulsory for a woman to put on socks? The answer is what? No, and capital no. What is compulsory on her is for her to put on garments that will cover every part of the body. Now if the leg now exposes, maybe because of what? These some things. This is illa ma zahara minha, that Allah Ta'ala is referring to. But to say it is compulsory on a woman to put on socks, there is no text in that. And no scholar has said that. Some sisters, the way the iman of the sister, when she starts what, using socks, alhamdulillah, but maybe that woman putting on socks, the garment that she's putting on, maybe what needs to start. And you say what, alhamdulillah. Where the garment should get when the garment has not gotten to that place? But the socks is what, at the same time there is no text that says what a woman should not put on socks. And that's why Hussein in his book, Hijab is not as his salah, mentioned things like that, that the women will put on socks in time of the front. The Prophet of Allah, likewise the men will put on socks. And there was nothing that says what, it is compulsory on them to do that. Now in the case of Forex, that is Forex, foreign exchange. So you want to exchange one currency with another. So people are picking up a lot of kind of business. Can you transact in money? In what, in the buy and sell of money? Some scholars are against that because of what it could lead to. But majority of scholars have no harm as long as the conditions are what fulfilled. As long as the conditions are fulfilled. What are the conditions? Yadan yadin. It must be hand to hand. There is no go come. I'll bring it in the evening. There's nothing like that. I'm giving you $100. You are giving me the what is worth in naira. Keep standing. Not let me, in 5 minutes time I'll be back. No. In 10 minutes time I'll be back. No, it must watch Yadan Yadin. Based on the hadith of the Prophet of Allah wa sallam, La tabi'u al-zahba al-zahbi illa yadan bi yadin. Illa yadan bi yadin, Islam bi yadin. don't exchange good for good, except hand to hand and equal to equal. You mentioned those things. إِذَا اخْتَلَفَتْ هَذِهِ الْأَصْنَافُ These things are different. They are not the same. فَدِعُوا كَيْفَ شِئْتُمْ Sell the way you like. إِذَا كَانَ يَدًا يَدٍ If it is hand to hand. That is, if the Ariba items, if the Ariba items, but they are not the same things, then you can sell the way you like. Take for instance, gold and silver, both of them are Ariba items. They belong to the same chains. That is, both of them are worth currency in the past. Today they are still worth currency. So a lot of people do not want spending. They spend some other things that have taken their place. But they still remain as worth currency. And that's why those who are doing illegal, doing silver and the like, they are still making use of it in buying chains. So both of them are currencies, but they are not the same. So in this case, only one condition is needed, and that is what Yadan Yedi must be hand to hand. Why is this gold for gold? We want to exchange this gold for another gold. It must be what hand to hand, and it must be what equal to equal. It must be what equal to equal. We want to exchange naira for naira. It must be hand to hand and equal to equal. Take for example, I need of new notes. We want to do 130. So you want to. So they say, okay, you think 100 naira, you get what? 50 naira. New one. That is what? Is riba. Should be what? Hand to hand. Should be what? Equal to equal. But okay, naira and dollar. Both of them are currencies, right? But they are different. So it should be what? Hand to hand, but not equal to equal. Huh? So if I like, let's say, $1 that I have, I decide to sell it, 19 euro. If you say you want to sell your own 200 euro, if you normally will buy it, no harm. Because they are not the same currency. So both of them are currencies, but they are not the same. Now let's go to, this is what the, let me say the traditional way of Forex. The modern way of Forex using internet. The condition of hand to hand cannot be fulfilled. What they call on the spot, according to those who engage in Forex, we still have to last for at least 2 days. What they call on the spot, we still have to last for about 2 days. So that thing cannot be recorded and concluded immediately. Some will last maybe 10 days, some will last what? I think before you can get it in your own account, everything perfected, it should take at least 2 days. At least 2 days, they call it on the spot. So someone who does not understand these terms of theirs, they think on the spot is just what? The distance. So it's okay, Forex is allowed. Because this is what? On the spot. But what they mean by on the spot is not on the spot in the Sharia. On the spot in the Sharia is what? Distance. That is one problem with Forex. Another problem is that what most of those who deal in Forex, they will have to get loan from the bank to do that. Because maybe what you want to buy now, what you have with the bank, is not enough to cover that. So the bank what will loan you. This they call this margin, whatever. So when the bank loans you the what? That will be interest. That will what? That will be haram. So most of those who do dealing in Forex, they will go through this method. If you are trying to go to one that will watch the Sharia, or that will be legal in the Sharia, the one they call on the spot. But who that is not on the spot. And that's why the fatwa of the majority is clear the six councils, maybe that's under OIC, that's under what we call Robito, that is what the Muslim world leads, a lot is that this forex drug is haram. That is just simply on forex. Now on GNLD, GNLD, the way people just try to bring some commodity in order to act as camouflage. People are not interested really in the commodity. They are interested in what? In the money. And that we have learned that what? If you are exchanging a currency for the same type of currency, it must be what? Hand to hand, equal to equal. Now the product that is used as camouflage, let us throw that product away first. In faith, what? Take for instance, an IBA software containing Islamic programs. A Christian may be interested in selling that. Getting customer, bring two people, when you bring two people, your startup will be elevated, so and so, you have to pay so and so as what? As whatever before you start, before you are registered. So a Christian may decide to do that. But the CD, they may say the CD is 20,000 naira. But in actual terms, if not for the thing attached to it, that CD cannot go for more than maybe 500 naira or 200 or 300 naira or 1,000 naira. But you will not see anything wrong in the price of the CD because they are not interested in the CD. They are interested in what? Bringing two persons, you get what? Elevated, bring another two persons, like that. Now, for some of the drugs that they say they sell, some of those drugs ordinarily could not cost more than what? 100 naira. But they say the drugs, 800 naira, 1,000 naira. Those who are dealers in it, they will not say, ah, this more drugs. You know, if somebody wants to use the drug for his own consumption, they say, ah, we want to carry 500 naira. But those who are dealers will not say, oh, more. Because they are interested in what? In the money. Now we now go to the money. So if you pay 5,000 naira to register, if you are getting more than 5,000 naira, because the commodity that is what in between is camouflage. So when you are getting that, you must get back what? For 5,000 naira. So getting anything more than the 5,000 naira is what? Is riba. That is one. Two, in that commodity, somebody is going to lose certainly. Let's assume, as we are all in this, in the mosque now, I invite you, I pay 5,000 naira, I invite him, so they give me bonus based on that, I invite him, both of them, they gave me bonus on that, he invites two of these people, they gave him bonus, he invites like that, two. By the time we continue like that, and bringing, you are increasing your server. So when we involve all the people in the mosque, the last person, the last people, who they bring? Nobody. That means all the profit that you have made will be borne by those people. The profit that you made were the wealth of the last of those who are the bottom of that pyramid. So if everybody in the world now wants to partake in GNLD, there will be what? There will be casualties. Those who are the bottom will be those who will suffer all the profit made by. So what is that in Islam? That is gambling. If you and I are partaking in a business and it is certain that you or he must lose, and that is gambling in Islam. If it is certain, mind my words, if it is certain that you or me must lose before the other person makes profit, that is the definition of gambling. But if both of us may lose, both of us may gain, that is what business in Islam. Because business is what? Risk. But for us to say, okay, one of us must lose for the other to profit, that is gambling. If both of us can lose, both of us can gain, that is what? Halal business. If all other things involved are okay. So in this case, GNFD, some people will gain and some people must lose. That is what? Then it contains, I'm coming, then it contains Zara. Who is going to be the loser? Who is going to be the winner? We have said that one must lose, one must gain. Who is going to be the loser? Who is going to be the winner? We don't know. Maybe you, maybe me. We don't know. That is what? Zara. And the Prophet of Allah Ta'ala forgave what? Zara. Then that was injustice in it. Allah says, "Wala ta'kulu amwalakum bainakum bil batil." Don't eat your wealth among yourselves in the wrong way. So all the reasons why transactions in the haram are complete in GNLG, Gianshi, business, whatever you call it, all network marketing. So some people were saying, but you know, this is just like the Prophet of Allah Ta'ala said that whoever comes to something that is good, you get the reward, and the reward of all those who follow that path. So I've been invited to this, so I'll get my reward. So and all the, you know, the desserts. Some people argue this way. But this thing is clear. It has nothing to do with something that what you have brought. So this is as far as GNLD is concerned. So that's why in America, in some cases in America, business like this are cancelled. As America's law is 40 and the like, they ban businesses like this. Because they've seen that what is eating people's wealth with injustice. Because who in America and some states, they will not practice it even with this camouflage of just 5,000, one, three, two people like that. They don't bring this camouflage of a thing. So it was clear to detect the error there. But those who are camouflaged with goods, in actual sense, they are not in need of the goods. And that's why some of them, maybe some of them, some of the dealers may say, take this tablet, go and use them. Because his target is not what? The tablet. If the money is making from Indian people, Allah.
When you talk about foreigners, okay, let's say as an individual you have a foreigner and they have a foreigner and you hear them from Europe and you want to convert from the way you start and to bring your money out, then you are not going to collect the money out because when you collect the charge, you don't want to collect the money, you want to write the money on top of the money. So, that one.
From the same bank?
That is the same bank.
That's clear. That's okay. Then it is going to keep to another account. So the way that they say to do it, the scholars allow that as well. Find the, maybe they had a transfer dollar to that person. That means it is considered what as a kind of item being transferred to another person. So the bank will charge you for that. So when the person is going to get the money here, you get dollar. Just as what you have transferred from this place. That is similar to something called pastaja in the past. But if maybe you have given them naira, then the person will get dollar over there. So that means the transaction would have been concluded between you and the bank. So the bank will change the money. We are changing with you, then the banks now act as much as the person doing the hawala, and there is nothing wrong. Only if they charge you for the hawala, it is permissible because they charge you for what they are doing, so the commission. So let me quickly ask, okay,
excuse me, now I'm not journalistic approach of that is in the fact the main was you not have to say this in the because it's happening in the common. So you can arrange that with the second in the not happening in the common. So some of that rules and say that practice is wrong. I want to see the imam coming, you should start calling the common. So but it plays to other issues. So the brothers are calling the common, I support other opinions, but the imam is going to support. So the imam will delay. And then you call the imam and the imam is not coming. I'm not that good.
Maybe you try to approach the imam and beg him that whatever you have done, that is wrong, that is wrong, that you do not intend, I mean, he tried to calm him down. So he said, well, you watch, you succumb. Eh? So don't appear to him as if you want to challenge his authority. Just try that you should just forget and so that if the those who are calling the comma, he have what majority support. Yeah? So maybe they should try and just appeal to him and forget the issue. I think that will solve the issue rather than try to succumb for the opinion of the imam. So when he says Bismillah, that doesn't mean anything. He's not complaining that he must call the imam before the imam comes in. It's not compulsion. If the imam is in the mosque, you can say, okay, what I see now, okay, what I say, Bismillah, the same thing. Some people will see that without the imam, you can't cause the comma. But if you look at the evidences, you see that what, there are evidences that the companions will call the comma before the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came out. There are evidences like that, though it's not compulsion. That's why Sheikh Solomon would say the practice here, at least in Saudi Arabia, is that they won't call the comma until the imam has gotten to the place he will lead it for that. That's when people will call the comma. So the practice of people calling the comma before the imam comes out is a practice that is not done anymore now. They want to revive it. Have to be immediately, otherwise it leads to greater fitness. What are the necessary things to be done at the time of child delivery and after childbirth? I don't understand the question. The askar, there is no specific askar recommended before child delivery or after child delivery. Whatever one can do, there is no harm. One can do it of a big rule of supplication. So some scholars of the past will say the woman that is witnessing maybe pain, serious pain, more than the normal one. So maybe the Suratul Rizal, that is the Suratul Rizal, so maybe it should be written in a bowl, washed, or the rich eating water, use that to rub the stomach and the like. You see this in people never will see what you call it. There's no direct text from the Prophet recommending this. But whatever you can use of the Quran, as long as it does not contain shirk and does not contain anything of kufru, there is no harm in it. So Allah. If the person that is not sexy that says you should do it, but if one does it, as long as it's not what you are not practicing any funny thing with us, maybe try to enlarge the bow or the meme or whatever, then challenge your children to come. Maybe to read in the water, drink, wash, then you leave everything in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any ceremony and counting the days, activities to be done on the day. Well, counting of the day, you start counting from the day the baby is born. Because that is the first day of the baby, and like that, 1, 2, 3, up to 7 days. So the 7 days, and the 7 days you do the apiko. And it is not advisable to delay the apiko unless you know how much the wherewithal to do that. When you say the wherewithal, not the money to get the tent, the rice, the whatever. What you are asked to do is go to slaughter the ram of the apiko. That is all you are expected to do. If you can do some other thing in order to entertain your friends, the invitees and the like, there is no harm in that. But for up to 90 feet are not composed with another fitna and another problem. And if brothers who are sooner still fall in this things like this, then what could we say about those who are not al sunnah? Like you could say sunnah. Most brothers today when they give birth, they postpone. They postpone their article. For what reason? Yeah, you don't have money now. If you ask me what money, not the money to stop at the ram, but the money to invite people. So we should not be killing the sunnah when we say what we are sunnah. So Allah. Is it haram to smoke cigarettes? This is what is the evidence. Yes, it is haram to smoke cigarettes because it has been proven that cigarettes is dangerous to get by the manufacturer. It says it's dangerous to get. At the beginning, when cigarettes were produced, scholars had not stated that it did not see the evil. So they see it as maybe sometimes it's the craft. But when they started seeing the victims of smoking, the doctors established that they said, okay, Allah says, well, that's to be a good thing. Don't destroy yourself. Well, that's to be a good thing. And Allah can be a good thing. Don't kill yourself. So if the producers have said this and have been confirmed medically that it's dangerous to eat, then it is haram to take. To smoke. Now in Saudi Arabia it has become what? It has become the norm. People smoke in the Arab lands, people smoke anyhow. But at, maybe 2 years ago, I was browsing, Saudi was rated as the 24th in terms of what smoking throughout the world. So somebody came recently said they have scored more than that now. In terms of smoking. So, the answer that if Gilbert was kept in the front of Masjid al-Haram, the heart was drawn, there was picture of the heart, then the effect of smoking on it, not that what he had to agree, but that now become what the integral part of the Saudi community. When the scholars view the factor like this haram, some of them listen, they stop. Some of them know that it is haram. But when you challenge them, they say, ah, we are good or bad. We know that. Well, my brother, thank Allah for me. And not stop smoking. Somebody told me that a young African married in Saudi Arabia, students were also smoking. Full serious. Yes, serious smoking. So the university authority wanted to ban it. And I said, okay, as from next year, that is 1431, that they will give the place. If you want to smoke, go and smoke. Then by 1432, it will be eradicated completely from the university. See the fitna there. And smoking is worse than the consumption of alcohol. Because the nicotine that comes out of smoking affects the person beside you. Whether it's not what applicable to intoxicants. So, but the Allah save us from the fitna. It is haram to do that. Yeah? Yes, to try to advise him. Yes, that's what Sheikh Utemi said. You should advise him and what you try to preach to him that you stop that thing. If he doesn't stop, maybe you leave that place, this place you can leave. If it's not a place that you can leave, you can report him to somebody who will listen. If there is nobody to listen, then you try to protect yourself. Number. That rule that is left. Jokes, okay, you are the one that wrote the question. Okay, jokes is halal if what you are saying is true. If what you are saying is not true, then joke is what is haram. Even if it is between a man and his wife, you have to tell the truth. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, woe to the one who lies, yudhik an-nas, so that people will laugh. Woe to the one who lies, yudhik an-nas. That is why most of these comedians fall under this hadith. That's why those who also act plays, they fall under, right? Because things that do not happen, you present them as if they happened. So with the what? They claim that you want people to benefit from it. Some people, the benefit that they got from that was that that thing was a real life issue. So that would be evidence whenever you're talking about the gene. People would lie. Just like it was said that somebody, a consort, a storyteller, came to the mosque. And there was Imam Ahmad and Yahya bin Ma'in in the mosque. The storyteller now said that Ahmad and Yahya bin Ma'in told me so and so happened. So Imam Ahmad looked at Yahya bin Ma'in, when did you say this? You're not looking at Yahya, why did you tell him this? So he said, ah. Now went to the storyteller and said, you mentioned the Ahmad Mahi, you mentioned Ahmad ibn Ambal. I'm Ahmad ibn Ambal, this is Yahya bin Ma'in. Are you the only Ahmad ibn Ambal? So, just fabricate lies with intention that what? What to teach people. Don't know that you are telling, you take it to what? To be the truth. For that, what the message you want to pass to them that enough evidence is from the Quran and Sunnah that maybe say exactly the same thing. Instead of using that, you are creating unnecessary belief in the heart of people. This one is happening to so and so person, happening to so and so person. That is what the evil did. Not talk of somebody who is nice, whose intention is just to make people laugh. The same things that do not occur, people will be laughing. So it's only in the case of animals that the scholars allow. Maybe you say tortoise and so some people will take that as much. Because they know that. But when you say it happened in America, it happened in whatever, people will see it as much as truth. And you have completed the lie. And that's why the storytellers, people enjoy them a lot. They make people laugh. At the end of it all the memorized are fabricated issues. And this is what you'll be using to practice this thing. So it is not permissible, except if one is telling the truth. As the Prophet of Allah Salaam who do it his wife, to tell them the truth for the first time, you watch somehow with them. So the Prophet of Allah also said that too much laughter affects the brain, that is, yes, it affects the heart. So your heart will be weak. So it's only when you see somebody who makes you laugh that you need to enjoy it. So things that someone will be frank with you, you don't see that as what serious. Likewise, said Ketratu Dhuhik to me to the contrary. Too much laughter affects the. And the joke is meant for people to laugh. So, that's one of the side effects. SubhanAllah, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. Now,
Alhamdulillah, Yasalaam, Yasalaam, wa Alhamdulillah. I think about 2 weeks ago, we set up a 5-man committee to listen to what we. I said about 2 weeks ago, we set up a 5-man committee to look into what we discussed about maybe the beginning of the alcohol. So what we decided was that maybe we should look, maybe a kind of test run. Maybe we should be using the down floor, or should we have to start to go up, or otherwise. So that's why we have decided to make it a test today now. So maybe we would like to hear from us, are we convenient, comfortable sitting down here, or if we please go for further for more
because now we might not be my